T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Play slot, start out wide, but then end up coming to be the inside receiver. They're going to move him around so many different times. That's going to make you dictate your coverages and also going to make you play a different type of coverage. So you're going to see a very good chess match. I want to see what Saul is about, because Andy Reid and Bienemy, what these guys are going to do, the offensive coordinator, they are going to test the Niners and stretch this defense like it's never been stretched before.
The Chiefs want to get their speed to the edge.
Yes.
All right. Any Chiefs game you watch, they want to get the speed to the edge. They're not about pounding it over the middle and dinking and dunking over the middle of the field. They want their speed out on the edge. So Hill, many people have seen him streak down the field. They've seen him run all the traditional routes. But you've got to watch with Andy, because he loves this, going back to his days in Philly. The quick motion across, and right before Hill is about to cross the center, snap and then shovel the ball forward. Shovel the ball forward. Snap, shovel the ball forward. Snap. Shovel the ball forward.
So they snap it, and then they shovel the ball forward.
S&S is what they call it. S&S, the snap and shovel.
You'll snap and shovel.
It happens so fast. If you are Bosa, if you're Ford, if you're Armstead, if you're anyone who's tasked with lining up on the edge, if you get caught trying to make a move inside, if you get caught snoozing, if you're a little bit dehydrated or run down from the humidity, and you just kind of run into the offensive tackle as you're trying to make a play, he will be right by you. Right by you. And at that point, there's no linebacker that's going to have the speed to break to the outside fast enough. So it's going to come down to your corner to either force him back in, force him out of bounds, make the tackle, or here comes 20 yards down the field. They love that play. They especially love it on the goal line. Watch it down inside the five. Snap, shovel. They try to get to the outside and into the end zone.
They do. And that's why it's
snap and shovel.
I like the snap, snap and shovel. That's why I think that Salah is going to be interesting, just to see what he does. So anytime you see motion, if he goes halfway and doesn't, before he gets to the center, then you say, okay, you motion with him. He says, okay, he went back to return to slot. But now if he's starting to come across, if he gets across, now you got to say, okay, invert the safety. Safety's going to run down and say, okay, we know what they want to do on some of these things. So now he's going to already start creeping down because he's seen motion. So you rock and roll the safety. One safety inverts, the other one comes down. So the outside safety, where you see the motion coming across, he's running down to say, we're going to stop the reverse. Now when you think you're doing that, now Andy Reid's going to go backside because now you vacated a hole. So it's all kind of things that Salah's going to have to say. Do I want to, okay, when I see this motion, I'm inverting the safety. Safety's running down right away to stop, and now you got a one-on-one tackle. This team tackles well. So the Niners are going to have some things for them, but you got to realize, just like the Niners are going to confuse, they're going to try to do the same thing to the Niners.
Joe, are you of the same mind that Tyreek Hill is the one player that you are most concerned with? Because you asked the question, I'm curious what your answer is.
He's right there. He's right there. Frank Clark is the one I'm worried about. In this game, he reminds me, leading up to this, of Clubber Lang from Rocky III. Like, there's this dog about him, this mentality. This, every time you get a microphone in front of him,
he
seems
care.
Angry.
I love
he seems
it.
Aggressive. We got audio we're going to play at 7:30 where, again, he's calling out D-Ford.
He ain't backing down.
He keeps going at D-Ford. This is not a guy who – this is not a Michael Strahan type who's very good, very polished, very tough, and then very great media. You love him. He's entertaining.
Right.
He's got all that. A football player, but also an entertainer. And that's not a knock on Strahan. I love Strahan. And I grew up hating the Giants. I love Michael Strahan. Frank Clark is Clubber Lang. He is Clubber Lang. And in this game, I worry about guys like that because, number one, you're not going to be able to just take them out of the game through any sort of protection schemes. They're going to get theirs. The question is, how much damage and how much of an imprint do they put on this game? He's going to look to take Garoppolo out of the game. He's the guy who looks to put you out of the game every time he gets a body on you. And Joe Staley's gone against him, going back to his time in Seattle. And Staley's talked about how tough he is to defend. George Kittle has talked about it as well. We'll have all this stuff on Frank Clark at 7:30 because I'm excited to get into it. But he's the one. He's the one that stands out because offensively, that is how this is going to come down to who, and Lowe talks about this all the time, the ability to impose your will. And the Niners have the blueprint. The Niners have the pieces and the scheme to control the game flow here, to come out, to run the ball, to control the clock, to do what the Colts did when they beat the Chiefs, to do what the Texans did when they beat the Chiefs, to do what the Titans did when they beat the Chiefs. They've got all the pieces in place. They're a top four team in time of possession. They run a ton of plays. They can put Kansas City in a bad spot. But if Clark is able to wreck this game on Garoppolo, or if he's able to cause the big strip or the big tip pass or the big third down sack on a key drive at the end of the first half, that could swing everything. Everything. Those middle 8 minutes that we always talk about, that could swing everything. He's that type of guy. He's their Bosa. He's their dog. He's their game wrecker that can turn this thing. And he's coming on strong late in the season. And the way he keeps talking, this is a Super Bowl that doesn't have any trash talk. Everyone's talking about how much they respect each other. Garoppolo, when he hurt his knee in Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes came up to him and it was so classy.
Right. Right.
And Kelsey likes Kittle, and Kittle loves Kelsey, and that's going back and forth. And the coaches are funny, and they're working so hard. This is the guy. This is the scariest guy of the two matchups, and he's been talking all week. And that's the type of thing that worries me.
I don't like the fact that you invoked Clubber Lang, because I remember going to that movie in Rocky III, and he was such a menacing figure. And
scarier than Drago. That's
no
a hot
doubt.
Take, but scarier than Drago.
And what he did to Rocky in that first bout, you had me starting to think about, you know, first quarter coming around the edge and taking down Garoppolo and not knocking him out of the game, but knocking the confidence out of him a little bit. And like you say, a strip sack or a tip pass. I didn't like the Clubber Lang comparison. I'm not saying you're wrong. That one got me a little shook, I'll be honest.
No, and that's just thinking about it. I mean, you can be the one to correct me if you disagree with anything I'm saying, because you know it better than me, but that's what I see.
No, absolutely. And the thing about it is, when you talk like that, you're supposed to back it up. And it's just not some guy. It's a guy that, you look at his career, he's got after people. So when he says that, you're like, okay, last time I'm talking to Brian Mitchell, you know, one of the best punt returners you see.
Oh, B. Mitch. Walking around today.
Absolutely has a dome. And talking about, he's got a
like
big
acorn.
Too. Yeah, he's got that acorn too. And he was telling me one time that he was, they were getting ready to play a game. And they were getting ready to play a game. And all of a sudden, the game was getting ready to walk outside. And the team was in there. And he put a chain. He wore a chain. He put his chain around his hand and wrapped it up like he's going to fight. And he stood up and said, anybody want to fight? I don't care who you are. Come up. Get up here right now. And he said, if you ain't ready to play, then man, deal with me right now. Crying, stood up in the meeting. You asked Hugh Douglas this.
Who is this? This is what Mitchell did? Yes. B. Mitch?
Yeah. B. Mitch.
He doesn't seem like that type of guy. I did not know that.
Because the killer's inside of him. And he stood up. This dude, this big game, stood up crying, doing like that, and grabbed it, had his chain, had it wrapped around his hand. And any of y'all want some, stood up in before they're going out on the field, said, if y'all don't go out and play, they said, what? And I'm just talking about, this is a man that's, you know, 5'10",
200
pounds. I was going
to say, he's not the biggest dude in the room, probably.
But it don't matter. I'm not the biggest guy on the team, but I believe in my heart that no one could whoop me. On the team, I don't care how big, tall, whatever.
Yeah, you win all those naked shower wrestling fights. You're going to have a thought process that no one can do.
Jody! So my point is, when you're talking about Clark, that is the guy that is that. He's the guy that's wrapping the chain around his hand and saying, yeah, I said it. What are you guys going to do? You got my back? Yeah, I'm saying, we ain't playing patty cake out here on Sunday. I know it's a Super Bowl. All you guys, we like this one. Oh, we like Kittle, you and Kelsey, Omaha. Yeah, we get it. I understand. But you know what? It's a football game that's going to be played on Sunday. I don't like them. They don't like us. And you know what? We're trying to go get a ring. And if you let, because we're friends and stuff out the field, if that's what you're about, man, don't play. Don't come out here on Sunday. Then stay in the locker room. So I like when I hear guys say that. Because you know what? If you can't get along, you might as well get it on. Quit this fake hugging and kissing. Man, get real. Man, I'm getting ready, boy.
Yeah.
Woo! I wish I could play.
Yeah. Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Porsche of Walnut Creek, a Michael Stead dealership. All right, Langford, I'm coming to you with some audio I want to play. Kelsey, Kittle, Kelsey. A lot of love for the two tight ends who are looking to take the throne abdicated by one Rob Gronkowski with his retirement. The position, the title, greatest tight end in the NFL. Kittle was speaking to the media yesterday. He was speaking about Travis Kelce and the similarities between the two offenses. Take a listen.
What our offenses do, they get us the ball in space. A lot of play action stuff, a lot of zone stuff. Allows us to get the ball in space and run. And I think Yak's definitely a mindset. You have to know that you're not going to get tackled by the first guy that's going to come hit you. Being a tight end, you know, I'm 6'4", 245. Travis is 6'5", 6'6", like 250. One guy shouldn't bring us down. And, you know, if you have that mindset, you just have the mindset, I'm going to run through someone's face, it definitely makes Yak a lot easier.
How are you going to defend Travis Kelce. Now, you've already got to account for Tyreek Hill. You've got to account for Mahomes getting loose and scrambling, which is a dangerous element. Damian Williams coming out of the backfield. Receivers with track speed for days. When it comes to Travis Kelce, who's going to be primarily responsible for trying to limit his impact on the game?
Well, I think you're going to have a bunch of guys at times. At times, you're going to have our guy Quan. At times, you're going to have the guy, our guy who makes the goal line stop. You look at
Greenlaw
needs to make sure he brings the law, and he needs to number 57 needs to be like Hind 57. He needs to be all drenching, be all over him. And
like sauce.
Exactly. Put the sauce on him. And I tell you what you need to do. You need to hold him up and you need to hit him. When you're going against a guy like that, you say, look, I'm going to wrap him up and I'm going to hold him, and where's the cavalry? You hold him up and then he's trying to fight for those extra yards and you make him make a business decision. I remember playing against Kansas City when I was with the Saints, tough, physical guy, caught a little flat route, remember like yesterday, one guy had my leg, I'm still hopping. Another guy held me up in front. Then it was just like a bunch of bees. I probably got hit like by all 11 of them, because that's what you need. Like, okay. And then you think the next time you're like, okay, I got it. The guys hold me up. I'm just going to get down low and I'm going to dive for it and get the yards that I can get. And that's it. If sometimes you do that, hold guys up and make them make a business decision, and the other guy, everybody else is coming in and just like gangbusters, I'm telling you, it doesn't feel good. You've seen Kansas City. They were able to do that to last week, two weeks ago, to Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
they held him up. They held him up, and everyone just start tattooing him. You're like, man.
You saw that effect in the second half.
Yes, you did.
He was worn down.
They wore him down. Oof. That's how you get to Kelce.
See, he's got some of the most interesting splits coming into this game. I'm trying to figure out how big of an impact he's going
to
have.
He's not consistent to me.
Exactly. Because on one hand, against Houston, he had a huge game. I think it was 3 touchdowns. He had over 100 receiving yards. He was the focal point of the offense. And then the next week, and he has been battling a little bit of a knee injury, I believe. Then the following week, virtually nothing. Nothing against Tennessee. I think he finished with 30 or 40 yards. He was pretty much a non-factor in a game where they didn't need everyone to be a factor. Let's be honest. They took the lead, and then they did what they needed to do to put the game away. In this game, I think to myself, he's going to be a little bit more healthy. He's got a couple weeks to get ready, and you're going against the number one pass defense. And maybe if the Niners are ultra committed to slowing down the wide receivers, Kelce could eat. On the other hand, nobody's defended the tight end position better than the San Francisco 49ers this year. They're number one in pass defense. They've given up the fewest amount of receiving yards to opposing tight ends this season. In terms of overall receptions that they've given up to opposing tight ends this season, I believe that is at... I had this somewhere.
I think you can frustrate him, too.
It's top 5 in terms of fewest receptions allowed. They are right there.
Yeah, and
I think
they are, but I think Kelce can be rattled, Dan. I think he's a guy. Is he a great tight end? He's a super talent, but I think that he can be rattled. If you frustrate him, he's not getting the calls, not getting the ball, I think you watch him. Sometimes he can, his body language. You look at Kittle. Kittle doesn't care if he's getting the ball or not. And so I don't know if this is going to change, because you look at this game, and I really believe that Andy Reid and this coaching staff is showing him Kittle. He said, no, I want you to watch your buddy that you have this love fest with. Here, let's watch him in the blocking game. Without a doubt, I'm telling you, if I'm coaching in Kansas City, I put on tape and I put on the run game for the San Francisco 49ers, and I show him Kittle. And I say, now watch his body language. Do you see him crying about the ball? Do you see him doing anything?
One catch in the NFC Championship game.
And he's grinding. He's driving guys down the field. Do you have this? So you think you're the best tight end? This is what people are saying. Who's better? All around tight end. People think Kittle. We think, Kelce, you are. Are you going to show these? The Niners don't think you can block well. They think you'll quit on certain plays. I'm telling you, this game is so interesting to me, just to seeing all the different narratives that are out there. And I know how coaches start pushing different buttons. You got to push different buttons on different guys to get different responses, the responses that you hope that you can pull out.
Plus, drops has been a factor for Travis Kelce as well. And the inconsistencies that you were pointing out, I think, are in play. Ultimately, for me, it's going to be interesting to watch Fred Warner, if he's the one in coverage with Kelce. Like Joe was saying, the idea of holding him up, taking some shots at him, trying to frustrate him, trying to take him out of the game. Because ultimately, if you can limit Patrick Mahomes' offensive options, all of a sudden you've got yourself a much better chance of winning.
All right. Prop time. Put on your thinking caps. First touchdown scored. What will the jersey number be?
Huh.
I've got an over-under, so I'm going to give you an over-under on the jersey number. If you take the under, it's every guy's jersey who is underneath this number. Obviously, if you take the over, you get all the guys who are above. The number is 26.5. 26.5. So the jersey number of the player that scores the first touchdown. If you play the under, here's who you get from the Niners.
All right, yeah.
Debo, Emmanuel, Tevin Coleman, and Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay? You will not get, this is an overplay, which you were just leaning to, Mostert, or Kendrick Bourne,
Juszczyk,
or Kittle, or Juszczyk. Plus, there's others, but those are some of the key guys. Here's where it gets interesting. For the Chiefs, if you go under, and it's combined, it's either team scoring. The Chiefs, you get Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, Damian Williams, LeSean McCoy, and Patrick Mahomes. Now, remember, if you go under, you're going to get Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, and Richie James. So all punt returns and kick returns are covered as well there. Defensively, most guys have a higher jersey number, so if it's a defensive touchdown that scored, that would play to the over. And again, when it comes to the Chiefs, you do not get Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce would be the over as well. So over under 26.5 as your jersey for the first TD. Which way are you going?
That's fascinating prop. Is this a real prop or is this one you?
Oh, yeah.
This isn't one that you just made up.
No, this is a real one.
This is the kind of thing that you would come up with, that you would create.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm going to go over, and I
have very little going on in my personal life.
No, it's you weren't getting it in last night, so maybe the wheels were turning, the hamster wheel was spinning, and you were putting in work. I think Kendrick Bourne is going to score the first touchdown.
There's a good price on that just individually.
And that's what I was thinking, because Niners, if they get the ball first, they're going to go down and score. And Kendrick Bourne's been a red zone machine for this team. So I would go over, and I would look to play the individual prop of Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah. Interesting.
Over and under. It's simple for me. It's over for the Niners. It's under for Kansas City.
If it's all combined, though.
All combined.
See, that's where it gets tough, because the Chiefs, you get a lot of guys with the under, but you don't get Kelce. With the Niners, you get Raheem Mostert, which is very important, and you get George Kittle and Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah. So with that being said, when you're talking about all those different numbers, wow. I think Kansas City's getting the ball.
And what do you think scores first?
I think if Kansas City get the ball, they've been starting slow as of late.
Right?
Can they change the narrative in the Super Bowl? I don't know, but I'm going to go with the Niners. I think the Niners score first.
Okay, you like that. It's scoring first is -110 for each team, so it's an even proposition. One note, first touchdown scored by the Kansas City Chiefs in all 18 games this season. The under paid in 15 of them. 15 of the 18 games saw the jersey number at under 26.5 for the first TD. There you go, your prop of the day. Brought to you by Joe Lo and Dibs, live from Miami Beach.
That's a great prop.
That was so fascinating. That just blew my mind.
I love when you
grilled cheese everywhere.
Grilled
cheese all over the media center. We are streaming this. If you want to watch some of this, we are streaming on the Instagram page right now. Go to Instagram. I believe the account is probably at 957 The Game. You can watch us during the break. If it's dark, nothing's going on. We're not filming the break, but we're filming all the segments today. All right, good stuff. Trying to figure out what the out is 27, so we're staying disciplined here.
Which way would you go on that prop while
under,
we're here?
You would under, go. Yeah, I was writing it up this morning for which direction I wanted to go, and I looked at I have the Niners scoring first. So I'm probably in the minority to have the Niners score first, but to take the under. Because if the Niners are going to score, you get Kittle and Mostert and, like you said, Bourne.
On the over.
From the over. I'm taking a bunch of guys like Sanders and Debo and Garoppolo.
And Tevin Coleman, I think, is an interesting
one.
He's
an under. Yeah. He's an under. If
and
he plays,
the Cheetah would be an under as well, right?
I think Breida's an I'm not
22.
Deuce, 22. He's under. Double deuce.
What's Jeff Wilson's number? Do we know?
He's an over.
Okay.
Yeah, I had this all up earlier. I apologize.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, it's okay.
Touchdown machine.
Yeah, I'm always interested where you go on these questions and what side you're
going
to be on.
I'm going under because looking at – I get – first of all, I'm taking the punts and the kicks out of it. I like that. They're all the under. All the Richie James, Mecole Hardman, and Tyreek Hill. So I've got all punts and all special teams aspects covered. I don't have defense covered, but I like the fact that both quarterbacks on a sneak or a scramble gets me covered. And I've got like all the wide receivers from Kansas City, plus Damian Williams. So on the other side with Garoppolo, I worry about Mostert's the one that worries me. So what I might do here is play the under at -110 and then bet Mostert score the first TD at like 5 or 6 to 1, and then put myself in a situation where what will happen is Kittle will score the first TD. I'll lose all bets.
Richard Sherman pick six would be that'd be a great way to cash that under.
That's one there as well. Yeah. All right.
A Bosa scoop and score obviously goes to the over. A defensive player throws that whole prop into just disarray.
Will there be a defensive or special teams touchdown? Yes, is +185. It's almost 2 to 1. Think about that. We'll talk about it next. Now is where I remind you that this segment was brought to you by Nutrisystem, Inc. Frank Clark talking again about Dee Ford, which makes me think, should I be more concerned about Clark or should I be more concerned about Ford? It's the quiet before the storm, and we are in Miami after all. That's coming up next. Now's the time to try Nutrisystem for Men. See how simple losing weight can be with Nutrisystem. The meals come to your door, you eat the food, you lose the weight. It's as simple as that. Order at Nutrisystem.com/radio. That's Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see website for details.
The Road to Miami, brought to you by Merriwest Credit Union. Now back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, boys and girls, welcome to the Money Spot, live from Miami Beach, site of Super Bowl 54. It's your boys, Joe, Lowe, and Dibs, here on 95.7 The Game. We love you. Thanks for spending some time checking us out today. We're rocking and rolling. Bill Romanowski.
Okay.
Super Bowls for days, okay? He's going to be joining us at 8 o'clock. We're hoping he brings supplements around.
He will.
What do you think the odds are on the supplements?
Yeah, what is the odds on that?
It's got to be even minus 140.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's minus 350.
Minus 350, he's got supplements?
He's going to bring his smoothies around. It's a guarantee. It's a stone-cold lock.
All right, so okay. Romo's coming up at 8 o'clock, okay? And then at 8:30, Brian Billick, Super Bowl champion in his own right, he is going to join us at 8:30.
Can't wait for that.
Ian Williams is here. See if he gets his rear end over here in time. Yeah. He's at 9:05. What do you figure Ian's been up to?
Now let's see the
him.
Oh, we saw him last night a little bit. I don't know if you were still
late
there
everywhere.
When he,
literally late everywhere.
Yeah, and last night he came toward the tail end of our run at the Clevelander, and he looking good and having fun. And you know, Ian's just the man. That's all there is to it.
We'll see about that. Always late in the Bay Area. Let's see how he handles Miami.
Yeah, and you'll see what his excuse is going to be.
Yeah, it's hot and there's security.
Right.
And you, who would have thought they'd have security at an event like this?
Yeah, okay.
All right, he's at 9:05. I don't think there's any reminders except for one. If you want to watch the show today, check out our Instagram account. Go to Instagram at 957 The Game. We're streaming it live. Now, if there's a stream and if the stream is not up, that means we're in a commercial break. But you know how the Money Spot works. We're going an hour straight here. An hour straight, 1 hour consecutive. Commercial free for you. So that's what we're going to do. So get to the stream if you want to check this show out. You can see Lowe, who has stopped sweating. The sweat has stopped. Miami got the better of him early this morning. Now he's in the cool air conditioning. Looking good, feeling good?
I feel great, Joe. I really do. I feel so great. I'm finally cooled off. The weather's great here. I'm just having such an amazing time.
I love when you go Valley Girl, when you mix that in, because, you know, a lot of times you do Preacher Low. Occasionally, you know, you do your various lows, but you don't always do Valley Girl Low.
No,
I appreciate
don't.
When you do.
Oh, you're so welcome, Dibs. I love it.
All right, little rivalry brewing. Little rivalry brewing in the build-up to this game. Travis Kelce and George Kittle have spent the better portion of the last 2 weeks talking about how much they love one another, how much respect they have for one another, hyping up the tight end position. It is a fraternity, after all, and they have done a remarkable job of praising one another as they both get set to try to grab the throne abdicated, by Rob Gronkowski with his retirement. So you've got that angle to pay attention to, but you have another angle that's a bit more hostile. Frank Clark, pass rusher from Kansas City. Dee Ford, pass rusher from the San Francisco 49ers. The only thing Ford's been hearing about for the last 2 weeks, and probably beyond that from the people in Kansas City, is how he jumped offsides last year in the AFC Championship late in the game when Tom Brady threw an interception. And if the play stands, the Chiefs get the ball back, they run out the clock, it's over, the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. Instead, Ford becomes the GOAT and not the greatest of all time. He takes the blame. He's traded to the Niners for a second-round pick. Niners give him a nice big deal. Chiefs need a new pass rusher. Boom, they go out and bring in Frank Clark. Clark puts on number 55, which is what Dee Ford wears, and he's been talking about him nonstop. Yesterday, here's Frank Clark on Dee Ford.
See, I got a lot of guys over there, DeForest Buckner, you know, Sack Neiman. I got, you know, Eric Armstead. I'm not really too fond of Dee Ford, but I got, like I said, man, it's like the whole defensive line. I know him very well.
This guy doesn't stop. Every time he opens his mouth, he's got something to say about Dee Ford. Now, personally, I like it. I like it for two key reasons. One, it's an interesting storyline going into this game. We don't have a lot of trash talk. We don't have any off-the-field deflategate sort of issues. I don't want any of that. I want the game. But I do want a little hostility between the teams. I do. Frank Clark's providing that, so it's an interesting storyline. But number two, there's something inside me that's saying Dee Ford at 150-1 to win Super Bowl MVP is worth a play. just going about his business quietly, getting called out at every turn. He's in the Super Bowl against his former team. He's taken so much heat, and he's handled it like a pro, healthy enough to go in this game. Am I crazy? Am I crazy that Dee Ford could make the game-changing play here?
You're not crazy, but I don't think it's that sensible of a play because he's only going to get 24 to 30 snaps, you would figure. Now, how impactful can he be on those snaps? Very impactful. He would need to have a multi-sack game or a scoop and score, a pick six, something of that order, I think, in order to be Super Bowl MVP. And you and I have talked about this, just the fact that the media votes on it, and a lot of times the media, and not the people who cover football each and every week, but the general media, they're not watching the game that closely. So it's going to take a guy who doesn't have the name recognition, like Donald Ford. He's going to have a massive game in order to get that MVP. And because he's only going to play a couple dozen snaps, I don't think it's that likely.
Could lose votes, because if he shows up on the ballot as Donald Ford, people could go, I don't know who this guy is. Haven't heard his name all day.
True. Usually Donald Ford only on the injury report. Dee Ford everywhere else.
If you're a chief and you hear Frank Clark talking like this nonstop, are you going up saying anything to him, or you just let them go because that's how he does him?
Well, you know, for one thing, when you go up to him and say something, he's going to say, get out of my face.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, so I don't think there's a lot of guys and coaches saying something. Coaches saying, man, go back it up. Players are saying, go back it up. And if I'm him, I'm saying, you help me back it up. I'm going to do my job, you do your job. And hey, let's go out here and win together. So when a guy starts talking, you might not do the talking, but you guys say, all right, I got your back. You don't think when you hear these things, and even though he called out Armstead and said him and Buckner are good friends, and Armstead, those guys, even though he knows them, their allegiance is to Dee Ford. Though, when he says that, oh, I like those guys, we're my boys. No, let me tell you something. They ain't like to say, man, no, nah, man, we know him, but no, forget that. You're with us. You're riding with us. And it's sort of like this. When you say, should you take the bet on him, is it a good prop? I'm another side, Dib. I think it could be a good prop for a couple reasons. One, when you see a kid and you see some story, a great feel-good story, kid's been wanting to play basketball, and they put it on ESPN and all this stuff, goes out and make a basket, and you're like, wow, and everyone's crying, like wanting him to talk to that kid and meet that guy. He's on all the things. So you look at that and say, wow, he's on that. That's awesome. There's that little kid. But now you look and say, is that kid capable, though, of going out and really scoring 40? Is he really capable? It's a feel-good story, but is he really capable of scoring 40 or doing those things? The answer's probably no. But when you think about what's going on now, when you watch ESPN, you watch the show, it's got, because Clark has brought attention, and now people are saying, man, Dee Ford, a lot of people didn't even know who Dee Ford was running in the Super Bowl, and now they're watching because it's on ESPN, all the talk shows, showing him jump off sides and showing the play. They show the DB, perfect coverage, intercept Brady, game's over, and they show Ford running off the side. That is a feeling that's ingrained in his heart. That is something that's burning in him. That is something that he hasn't forgot about. But now he has, now to turn the page, because maybe some people didn't know all that they watched it, and Niner fans didn't necessarily watch that, but now the Niner fans are watching him. Everyone is on him. The focus is on him. He's sitting here, he's quiet. I'm just trying to stay healthy. I'm feeling a little bit better. I think it's quiet before the storm, Joe. I think this guy, exactly what you're saying, he's quiet before the storm. I'm telling you right now,
he's pissed off, man. He's got to be so pissed off leading into this game.
No question.
2 weeks of Kansas City talking, of Frank Clark talking. Frank Clark takes his jersey.
And he said, I don't like that. I'm too forward to Dee Ford. He doesn't like him. And you know Dee Ford. Nothing about him is not to like. He's quiet. He's mild-mannered. This is not some guy that's going to be a causing problems. When you're doing this to this guy and attacking this guy, saying, I like these other guys, but you, now ESPN, everything's showing it, and they're showing him walk off the fields late. Watch it. I was like, wow. Focusing him walking off the field, because defense got to stay on that, because it's automatic first down. Seeing all those things around it, and everyone tell it was you. When you wake, it was you. Even though that one play didn't cost the game. Yeah, but I know what they don't say, it doesn't cost the game. But if that doesn't happen, Kansas City has the ball.
Not to bring this up in a negative way, but when you go back and we talk about K5, a pass you dropped in a regular season game, and again, it's not meant as a joke.
I got you.
To this day, he still blames himself for the Bucs not making the playoffs because of that drop. Now, that's taking the butterfly effect and saying because he dropped the ball, that led to them losing the game. And because they lost the game and they just missed out on the playoffs, he was responsible for not making the playoffs. Now, that is an insane way to think, because it's not true. But that's how you think, and that's how a lot of competitors are going to think. And if you're Dee Ford, you're probably sitting there just waiting. And oh, by the way, he played 34 snaps in the NFC Championship game against the Packers. That's his highest snap count total since week one when he played 40 snaps against Tampa. He played 54%. So you got to figure, A, when the stakes were the highest, you saw him play almost the most snaps all season. He's had 2 weeks to get ready for this game.
He's playing.
You brought up the point where stay away 150-1 because he might not play a lot of the snaps.
He's going to play.
How many do you think he ends up playing? He's going to leave it all out there,
they're
right?
They're going to have to pull him off the field. Let me tell you something. This dude ain't trying to come off the field like that. Like he's got. It's nothing. It's all or nothing.
He's going to go until the body gives out.
Yeah, he's going to try to make some plays. I'm telling you. Yeah, without a doubt. Because you look at that K5. I don't think that was like week 7 or 8. I'm telling you, we want.
See, we get the audio from K5, please.
No, don't get the audio. But you can get. You look at that game. We went on a run. And it came down to last game. We won, beat Detroit. Now we need another something to happen for us to get in. We needed help. So that last game, we would have gotten the playoffs if another team lost. So without a doubt, I catch that ball because the game's on, we're up by four, up by two. I catch that ball with 2 minutes something left.
It's a first down.
It's a first down without a doubt that moves the clock. We run the ball out. No question we beat Jacksonville, and no question we're in the playoffs, and no telling.
You take so much blame for that.
I'm telling you, I know. When you feel something like that and you know the way the team is moving afterwards, you see you guys get hot and we start winning. At Tampa Bay.
And you can look at that in any game and any mistake. Everyone talks about Kyle Williams' muff punt and the fumble, and it's like, oh, Kyle Williams.
If he just catches that ball, they do win that game.
Right, but what about all the other plays that took place?
I get it.
Bill Buckner, the ball gets through his legs, and they lose that game. Boston doesn't win the World Series.
Could have won game 7 still. But the thing with Bartman, it's like you had plenty of opportunities to still win that series.
And I know Sapp and all those guys, they say, wait, we could have made a play. I get that. But at that particular time, if you make that play, you don't have to worry about him on the field. If he doesn't jump off sides, the defense doesn't have to come back on the field. Now the offense has to do their job. So I think that, yeah, some of these times, and you say, yeah, it was a lot of plays leading up to that. No question. But it's the time in which it happens.
Right.
So if I've dropped K5 in the first quarter, it doesn't mean as much. You see what I'm saying?
I do. And as much as I like busting on you time to time, I don't subscribe to the notion that that one play cost you the playoffs. If it's a missed field goal in week 17 at the buzzer to win and that keeps you out, then, you know, a little bit more. But this, come on.
Yeah, no.
You still got to let that go.
I can't let it go.
And you're not drinking anymore either, so we can't get you any of that to drown the sorrows.
Yeah, I can't let it go. And I'm telling you, and that's why D Ford, without a doubt, Joe, he cannot let that go. You want vindication? This is one. Let's win the Super Bowl.
I like him in this game.
And he's lucky.
I like him in this game. I really do.
He gets that vindication. Yes. He didn't have to wait 10, 12 years. He's in the Super Bowl. And to your point, I didn't realize he played that many snaps. And if
I didn't either. I looked it up to just get an idea of where he's been since he came back. He played 22 snaps when he came back against the Vikings, which was 48%.
Wow.
You remember, Minnesota barely had the ball, but then he ramped it up to 34, which was 54% of the snaps, his highest total in both since week one.
Finkel is Einhorn, Einhorn is Finkel.
He hasn't been right ever since. We can ask Dan Marino. He was in the movie.
You see Dan Marino walking around?
Yeah,
I saw him over here somewhere. Yeah, he looks good.
He's got the always.
Man, imagine, like, you know how when you play your whole career somewhere and then you settle down there and you're one of, like, the famous guys?
Right.
Like, kind of like Rick Barry, obviously, with the Warriors for a long time, stays in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Dan Marino got Miami.
That's a pretty good deal. He got Miami.
New York, even if, like, you're the king of New York, like Jeter, and if, like, Jeter were to stay in New York, it's still New York in the winter.
Boomer Esiason in New York, you know, he played there and. Played
Boomer was a Bengal.
Dwayne Wade.
I don't want to disparage. I like Boomer.
Dwayne Wade played here in Miami, but he's not Marino. And that's his goal. I know.
That's extraordinary.
I think that could be reckless. No.
Multiple titles.
But that's.
I don't know. I think he might be Miami's favorite son. You saw the whole retirement with him. They did two years worth of retirement ceremonies for him.
If you say in eras when those guys were both at their peak and all the different things and both when they both retired in where they were at, I think Marino had Miami more. I am telling you.
Who's Miami's favorite son? Who's Miami's favorite son? If it's down to those two, we might be missing somebody.
I was thinking Marlins right away.
Dan Ugla was a Marlin.
Dan Ugla. Great pull.
You know those
Great
two.
Great Council was.
Those two.
Man, I love Danny Miami. Call him Danny Miami.
And he fits, come on. The guy.
Wade loved Wade here.
Right. When Dan was retiring and with his last year, and you look at Wade and you say, what part in their peaks? I think is Marino.
I just think you're also biased. You played football.
Really generational, without a doubt.
Yeah, we're generational.
You know, you and I.
Yeah, you're old like him too. So that's another thing.
I'm more extremely biased.
I'm sorry.
He's coming up on being 50 years old.
Oh, what a birthday that's going to be!
It's this year.
How's Wade and I? What are you talking about? Wade, I'm more with Wade.
50's less than 11 months because today's the 29th.
You're closer to Marino's age than you are Wade.
Am I? Why don't you look it up? He's 37 years old. Dan's like 10 years older than me. What are you talking about? Dan, I was like a young kid, so I look up to Dan. So for you to sit here and just throw that out there, you're silly.
Do you know you're closer to 74 than you are 25?
I mean, what are you doing this for? I mean, is this needed, Joseph? See what I'm saying, everyone? I don't do nothing. Why is everybody always picking on me?
Wade is 38. You're 49. Marino is 58. You're 49. So you're closer to Marino.
You're the mean.
I'm 40 right there. Get out of here.
Or the most. Actually, that would be the most.
That was weak. You know it's just about the same.
I straight nailed it.
It wasn't no straight nail.
Straight nailed it.
So, meaning that I was with both of those guys, and you see what I'm saying. So I got to see.
Well, there are those guys, and then there's you. You didn't. You're not in Miami. Is my point.
Oh, I know that.
And you know
what's
other things.
What Curly? What
he wants us to pivot back to the Super Bowl and the 49ers.
Sorry. I was enjoying the Danny Miami conversation.
I was too,
Wade.
I speak John Curly nonverbal gestures, and he's over here having a mini conniption fit.
All right, so let's go to this then. Weak links. We've talked about a lot of guys we think can win the Super Bowl. We've talked about a lot of guys that are going to be a big problem in this game. Guys, you're going to have to try to defend. We got a lot of guys that we don't even think you can stop. We're not even going to bother having conversations about stopping Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce or Patrick Mahomes. You know they're going to feast a little bit. The question is how much. What are the weak links that you're looking to attack? What are the weak links that you're looking to attack? And put that on ice for a second. Let that marinate. Hit the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 because I just thought of something I wanted to ask based on the previous conversation with D Ford.
Right.
Him playing in Kansas City last year, the focal point is always on the offsides and how it, quote, costs in the AFC Championship game. What about the knowledge he has of Andy Reid and that locker room? I know they've changed defenses, but he went against Eric Fisher in practice. He knows their offensive tackles. He knows their line. He knows Patrick Mahomes. How much of an asset is that? Well, like, does he have little tips and tricks, you think? I know Joey Bosa is going to be working with Nick on some stuff, but you got to figure Ford knows a few things about that locker room, doesn't he?
Oh, I think that both of them, he knows things about that locker room, but you got to realize they know everything about him. They know, God, should we cut him? He hates being chopped at practice. So they know a lot about him as well. So they know his tendencies. They know what he wants to do. So I think it's a bout of attrition, seeing who's going to get it done first, who's going to strike first, who's going to throw the bigger blow. So, yeah, he's got things that he could tell them, intel. But at the same sense, they got intel that they can say about him as well.
All right. All right. Impressive. Because I think that if we power rank the storylines, I think the D Ford angle is the one I've been fixated on for a while now. I think that's going to be number one for me. All right. Weak links. If you're going to attack this team and you're the Niners, what are you looking to attack? Either offense, defense, special teams, whatever it may be, where can you find success in this game? This is a better defense than people realize. They were top 10 in total defense this year. They were strong against the pass, playing on an offense that's blowing people out to where you're going to be giving up a lot of passing yards and garbage time. They played very well this year, and they won some very big games. And if memory serves, what, they won 8 or 9 in a row coming into this one with all the point spread covers as well? They've been legit. So what's the weak spot here? Is there a weak spot?
Well, I think that we know that you're going to try to run the ball, and I think that at times you watch who's in the game. When 94 is in the game, Terrell Suggs, I think you run away from him, and I think you make him run. I think you try to run away from him, and then the next play, run maybe at him. I think Terrell Suggs is, guy, you know, the guy is still big and physical. He's not going to necessarily move around too much. So make him make decisions. Make him have to use spurts and run. And so get him on a sweep. Sweep the ball to his side. Make sure you get some block down because the guy is tough at the point. Make sure you try to block down on him. Have a guy outside and try to block down him and try to pin him in. Do certain things. Make him fight. Make him work. Run away from him. Run, you know, don't necessarily try to run at him for he can just be stout. Do certain things to get away from him. That's what I like when you do it. Sucks. I would attack him, but I would attack him like Kyle Shanahan. Everyone talked about what he does. And look at that individual and say, what does Terrell Suggs do great? He's great at stopping the run. He's great at the point of attack. He's not great running in space. He's not great necessarily when you run away from him. So do certain things that are going to put him in a place that he doesn't want to be. So now if he's not great running away from the play, now you do some things, okay, pushed it, and now the cutback, because he's not good at, sometimes he's going to be taking the playoff because he wants to save energy. So now you run away from him, but bam, have it that cutback. So now you're coming back at him when that was, he's probably get lazy on some plays. Now you're saying, okay, I'm motioning in when he sees a motion in. Now try to block down, get around him and outside, because even if he fights off it, he doesn't have the foot speed to go run it down. Do certain things that's going to wear him out. Don't run specifically at him. Another thing that you look at, you're saying, oh, wait, with Clark, I do want to run right at him. I want to see, can I widen him? He wants to save it for pass downs. You have to wear him out as well. Understand on obvious third down, do you have something like a quick screen out there? And that's why we're talking about the certain things, the props. When you're talking about George Kittle, that's why I'm saying the over. Because you can't sit here and say, Raheem Mostert, 30, 40 carries. You don't know if Breida the Cheetah's got mentally ready. You don't know what you're going to get at him. You don't know what's going to happen. If the shoulder's going to be able to play, so he may not play a couple plays. So with that being said, what do you do then when you know you still want to run, but necessarily don't have the people to do it? You throw bubble screens. You put Kittle out here. You throw him a flip. You have him lined up. Now he motions across. As he motions across, block down. Now it's just a little screen. You do things that's high percentage throws to exploit certain things on defense. Look for the Niners to do a lot of that. Look for them to do it early and look for them to do it often.
The snap and shovel is what we might see as well. Your favorite play, your go-to today, Debo
Dangerous
Samuel.
Play.
Yeah, the snap and shovel to Debo, or the jet sweep, like Lowe's saying, unique ways for them to run the ball. I think the weakness for Kansas City is their rush attack and Damian Williams. He's an okay back, but he's an okay back going up against a good defense, an elite defense. So I don't see a scenario where Damian Williams is going to be much of a factor at all in the run game. And part of that is the offensive line as well. They've done a nice job of protecting Patrick Mahomes. I think that they were third or fourth fewest sacks yielded. Part of that's because he's so mobile and he's so good at getting rid of the ball. But I think that offensive line, particularly in the interior and the run game, that's Kansas City's weakness. And so look for the big man, who you like to call the big trees in the middle, DeForest Buckner and Arik Armstead. Look for them to make big-time plays, tackles for loss in the run game.
Yeah, I do believe that. I think they're going to be big in the run game.
I love this talk. I love this. It's like four more days away, and I know it's like, you know, enjoy life. That's what we said we were going to do,
right.
But I'm ready to watch this football game. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No.
I just had to bring that
penetrate
up.
Very much enjoy. Punish is what they're going to do. Penetrate and
punish.
P&P. Yeah, the old P&P.
I like penetrate it. And punish. I like that.
I like it. I like it. I really do. And those guys are going to have to play a big game in those trees in the middle. And they understand they're going to have to push that pocket back and let it collapse. That's how those guys on the outside are effective. Everyone says, oh, they're so great pass rusher, but people don't give those guys, two guys in the middle, enough credit. When you can push that pocket back and then get your arms up, and after you push them back, and now, even though you got those speed rushers, I think what they do such a phenomenal job, the Niners, as of late, is, Joe, is get to that number, the sixth step. I'm 1, 2, 3, and they've got a clock in your head. 1, 2, 3, the ground belongs to me. 3, 4, 5, I'm dipping and I'm diving. And if you know that, where are you going to get to those steps, and you're saying, why once I get to that mark, it's retrace. You don't see guys, a lot of speed rushers, the Von Millers and all those guys, they run until they finally beat you, and now they try to loop back around. This is what the Niners don't do.
Oh, crazy legs.
Yes.
They like to call that.
But they go too far up the field, and they create those lanes for guys to run. I like the Niners. They understand, boys in the middle, get the push, and we'll if you get the push, we will retract. And so you get to that sixth step, and now you see guys, now it's like, Get skinny. Now when I get to that sixth step, I don't care. I'm not going to take another step. Now I'm going to condense that pocket, meaning I know that my landmark, I'm not going to go any further, because if I do, I compromise the integrity of the defense up front. Get to that spot. Now it's drive him into there, and now you let that thing, that pocket just shrink. It shrink like malt meal and cream of wheat when you just shrink it down.
Yeah, very
cook
nice.
It down.
I like that. That's how you put a bow on. I think the weak spot for me personally is going to end up being Andy Reid. That's going to be the key to this whole thing. You've got to put Andy Reid in situations where he has to make fast, important decisions, because he has shown throughout the course of a very illustrious career, he is not good in situations where you have to make fast and important decisions. Go back to that scenario when they lost that game against Tennessee. Late in the game, it's about less than 30 seconds to go. The Titans get into the end zone. They're going for two, and if they convert it, they'll be up three. If they don't, they're up one. Either way, you need a field goal. And he burns a timeout. You cannot burn a timeout there under any circumstance. You have to know they're going for two. You already have to be ready to defend it. So, A, he wasn't ready to defend
it.
B, he burned a timeout to try to get ready to defend it. C, they didn't defend it. They gave up the two-point conversion anyway. So that's a horrible sequence. Then Kansas City gets a good return, picks up 23 yards on the first play, picks up 5 on the second play, gets nothing on the third play because they had to play to the boundary because they didn't have any timeouts. If you have a timeout, you can go to the middle of the field. Prevent defenses allow you to throw to the middle of the field. It could have gone from a 52-yard field goal to maybe 42 yards, and instead Buckner has to kick a line drive from 52. Tennessee gets their hands up. They block the kick. The Chiefs lose that game. Andy's notorious for that. These late second scenarios where he's burning timeouts when he shouldn't be, where he's calling runs when he should be throwing, when he's aggressive when he should be passive. He's known for that. If you're Shanahan, you have to be ready for those moments. The moment of all moment in chess matches came in the Super Bowl in Arizona when the Patriots beat the Seahawks. Everyone remembers that end-of-game scenario because Russell Wilson throws the INT and Seattle should have run the ball. But Bill Belichick had been gearing up for a situation like that since before the season started. Malcolm Butler, the new goal line defense they were working on, they realized in the offseason that they had a problem. Traditional goal line defense is six down linemen, and then you've got linebackers. But if the team wants to throw, which they're doing more and more of these days, you don't have enough guys out there to cover. So what you need is a player who can cover but can also stick his head in there and make a tackle. That's what Malcolm Brown's role was. And all year long, they waited to use it, and they didn't use it all year. It was in there. They practiced it every week, and they didn't use it until the biggest play of the season, and he made the INT. But what everyone forgets is the sequence that happened before that. As Seattle's coming down the field, Belichick's got timeouts in his pocket. Carroll kept expecting Belichick to burn timeouts to give Brady time to take him down the field. Belichick had been watching Carroll. He was not watching what was happening on the field. He was watching Carroll, and Carroll was getting fidgety on the sideline because he wasn't. What was happening was not expected. So Belichick kept telling everyone, "We're not calling timeouts. This is going to be our stand. General Custer, last stand." But instead, this time, Custer wins because they went out there and they made the big play. Carroll was flustered. They went out there. Rather than just regroup and do what got you to that point, they made a panic decision. Andy makes panic decisions. Andy makes mistakes in those spots. Andy will need a timeout and won't have it because he used it on a bad challenge at some point. He is known for this, and I do not see it changing going into the Super Bowl. And if it does, good for the Niners. If he brings someone in to help him, good for the Niners, because that's going to mean it's the first time he's ever had someone helping him, and you don't want to try something new like that in the Super Bowl. That's where Kyle's got to be ready, to call the timeout when Andy's not expecting it or to let the clock go when Andy is expecting it. You got to be able to twist him up.
And it's also having the presence of mind to not use those challenges, like you're saying, not waste a timeout with a foolish challenge, and then late in the half or late in the game, you get in a situation where you don't have the timeouts you need, and you're in a situation where, you know, perhaps you can't score points in the last 4 minutes of the first half.
I didn't hear most of that because Lowe hit me on the leg, and I'm like, who am I looking for? Is it someone famous? Because he's pointing.
Yeah.
He's pointing at the clock. The guy's on top of it. I didn't even know it was 8 o'clock.
He really is. He really is. Next thing, he's going to be delivering the legal ID.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 8 o'clock hour of Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game, live from Miami Beach as we get set for Super Bowl 54. 4 days away with the San Francisco 49ers still as a 1-point underdog, total of 54.5. The over money continues to come in. Sportsbooks are taking like no under money. No one who's interested in the under is betting it now. Today's show brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises, and we're keeping a close eye on the pranksters on the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. You guys have been great today. One reminder, in segment, we're streaming live on our Instagram page. Go to at 957 The Game on Instagram. You can watch. Romanowski's supposed to be joining us here in a few moments.
We can't wait.
So you're going to be able to see old Bill and whether or not he brings us some protein shakes and other goodies in the Nutri-World.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? The Nutri-World?
Nutritional world. And I'm thirsty. I'd love to get one of those protein drinks. I'm hungry. I had that nice run. We're talking about the different things of what he thinks that we could exploit, where the Niners also have an advantage, in my opinion. And I'd like you to chime in as well. It's defense with Spagnuolo. the things that he's going to have to do, how is he going to, you think about what the adjustments and the different things he's going to have to do to slow down Kyle Shanahan's offense. I know everyone talks about Andy Reid and this offense. Yes, we get it. It's a high power offense. But the Niners offense, it's the offense that cuts you. It keeps cutting you. You know, and before you know it, they're in the end zone. Before you know it, it's first down. It's 4 yards. It's 5 yards. It's a 10-yard pass. What he's going to have to make a lot of adjustments, I think, as well, what defense is the call.
Right, and it's going to have to be predicated on stopping the run. We know that first and foremost. Niners are second in the regular season in running the ball, and you know they're going to come out and try to pound the ball. They're going to run that zone scheme. They're going to use your boy old juice check, the fullback. They're going to go two tight ends at times, and they're going to really try to impose their will on the ground. Does Kansas City have the personnel to stop the run, or do they need to commit extra bodies? Are we going to see the Honey Badger in the box for the majority of the game trying to stop the run?
I love Honey Badger. I got to be honest. I love his story. He
great
was played at LSU, and then he ended up kind of getting thrown out of school, suspended, leaving school. There was the whole thing, and then the Cardinals take a shot on him in the middle rounds, and he delivers from day one. He absolutely delivers from day one. The work ethic. He's one of those guys that he made some mistakes when he was young, and he realized, I can go one of two ways here. And he chose a route where people speak extremely highly of him, number one. And number two, he's been very productive. He was great with the Cardinals, and he's been great with the Chiefs, man. I think he played every single snap. He played more snaps than anybody on that defense this season. He's been a huge factor for them.
He has.
Love that guy.
He has. And now it's a fact. Now we'll see, Joe. Do you put him in the box? And okay, so that's why I'm saying it's going to be tough for the coach, with Spinola, because now he's going to be saying, okay, I'm in a rock and a hard place. Okay, if he's in the box, okay, I'm going to run away from him. As he comes down, okay, everywhere he is, let's have a check to run away from him. So let's run away from him. Now some other guy. So now you look at him saying, okay, are we going to get the edges? Are you going to play an over where you can say, okay, I'm going to cover the nose? Or am I going to go with a guy, leave the nose uncovered? And now how is they going to stop it? Because also you can stop the run. You can gear to be stopping a run, but you're trying to stop a specific part of the run by defense. Okay, if you're inside, I'm going to go outside. So there's so many things that Kyle Shanahan, you have to prepare for, even with your defensive front, even when you put six, even when you put seven and eight guys in the box, you still don't cover everything because of Kyle Shanahan's offensive scheme.
Jumping in, Radio Row prop bet just came up with it. Who will show up later? Romanowski, who's already 4 minutes late, or Ian Williams, who's set to join us at 9:05?
Man, Romo would have to be juiced heavily because he already is late, and I don't know if you can see him in the room just yet. I'm going to say it's Romanowski because Ian Williams is probably will be a little bit more able to come in and come right to our table. We're not near the entrance. Romanowski, people are going to be trying to paw at him and grab at him. I think on his way in.
Trying to rip off his clothes by the time he gets here. He's like got this shredded T-shirt.
That's it.
Pants are half hanging off. Bill,
he's
what
naked.
Happened? You know me.
Okay.
In Miami.
Warrior Wednesday brought to you by Freeman's Appliance, a trusted name of the Bay Area since 1922. And great clips. Great haircuts start here. Woo! Do we have the audio, nice guy, if you can hear me, which I know you can, you're paying very astute attention to the show, of Kyle Shanahan yesterday meeting with the media talking about why the Niners didn't draft Patrick Mahomes at number 3 overall? Do we have that?
Of course.
Would you be so kind as to play it for us, please?
I didn't look into him, obviously, as much as I should have. I think it was, we definitely looked into him, studied all his tape. Was just a freak, could make any throw, had the ability to do anything. I think it was a little bit different situation for us. We had the second pick in the draft. Did not feel like, from all the intel you get and stuff, that he was going to go that high. And it was a little different situation for us just because I think it's pretty well documented of just the relationship I had with Kirk and being in Washington and everything. And I felt very confident that he wasn't going to stay there. So anytime you go into a season knowing that a franchise quarterback's going to be available the next year, it made me a lot more picky with what we were looking at. And you saw a bunch of talented guys in that draft. But it's very tough when you watch college systems and stuff. You don't really know until you get someone in the building. I mean, you can see ability, you can see talent, but how's the mind? How do they play in the pocket? How do they process? And that's not just an IQ score. That's some stuff that I don't think you can totally test. You got to go through that with them. And so there is always a risk with that when you spend a first-round pick on a quarterback. And with the situation we were in, don't want to be that risky.
In the spot of all spots where you could have gone with classic coach speak and had a complete fabrication of the truth as to why you didn't take Patrick Mahomes, we weren't interested in that, anything, Shanahan gets up there and just outright owns it.
Yeah.
I didn't do enough work on him. And also, here's a reason. Kirk Cousins was headed for free agency. I really like Kirk Cousins. I saw him as a franchise quarterback. We were going to make a play at him. And you sit there and it's like this refreshing honesty. Who is the coach of Liverpool's football club?
That would be Jurgen Klopp.
Jurgen Klopp, the guy who is like widely regarded as the greatest manager slash coach in all of sports right now. Everybody loves this guy to the point where there are these articles written about how Steve Kerr and other coaches around the world are constantly trying to study this guy because of his success and because of this gravitas, the word Lowe likes to use, that he has within the room. So I did some research on the guy. I started reading about him because it's interesting. He is brutally honest with everybody from like day one. He won't even talk to you about soccer during these recruitment speeches. You'll get down, you get to know each other, you'll talk about life, but he is open and honest with the entire team. He puts everyone on the same playing field, and if you need to hear something you don't want to hear, he tells you, and he praises you when you're solid. And for some reason, that honesty goes a long way. And that's something I'm noticing with Shanahan on a repeated basis.
Yeah.
He takes accountability. He's not trying to dodge anything. He seems like the type of guy that when there's an issue, it's going to be addressed. When there's praise that should be given, it's going to be addressed. You look at the situations with Pettis and Goodwin and a lot of individuals who'd have every right to gripe because we see it in professional sports all the time. And the reality is, if you're going to speak out on this, you're going to look bad because everybody else on the team understands that you weren't performing. You were given your opportunities, you weren't able to perform, and that's why you're down. No hard feelings, it's a business.
It is a little easier to be this honest when you're at the Super Bowl. I'm not trying to take away from Kyle Shanahan.
No, that's a good
because
point.
When they were 4-12, he was also very honest with his assessments, and Jurgen Klopp is in a similar situation. They've got a long unbeaten streak going. They haven't lost at all in the Premier League. They have one draw.
One draw, right?
All the rest wins, and they play.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.